Red Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 68th Cannes Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmaker Naomi Kawase, who is presenting her film Anne. And the international title of the film is Sweet Red Bean Paste. And the film is being presented in the section Un Certain Regard here at the festival.
Well, where did the inspiration for the film come from?
It was a really great coupling of the book and the style that I have in my filmmaking, I feel. The book has a really wonderful content to base my film on, and so that my role was to place some kind of element in the style of filmmaking that I have.
What was it exactly that drew you to the novel?
The gateway, the door. The initial door was the process of making ant paste, which is a very traditional way of, like, hands-on way of making ant paste. And from there, we had the element that leads to the element of the social issues of leprosy. And then to the final stage, I have this the plane, idea of a plane with the nature and human being and how our life can be evolved.
That's a very interesting theme. Do you think that nature is somehow becomes very representative of humanity and history and the way, you know, humanity is identified with history?
Well, I believe the nature, the human being cannot control everything about nature,
and something that we have to respect for sure. And I think in history there are many times, occasionally, alarms from the nature that's presented to us as a human being. So if we don't face the alarms that the nature is addressing, like, I think that leads to the collapse of human nature, human being.
And I'd like to talk about the characters now, and because they're from three different generations, and also they're all very much almost on the verge of, or even marginalized from society in one way or another. What interested you about these aspects of the character?
They are marginalized in the society as a setting. So maybe if such people exist in real life, they don't get the spotlight from other people. But by exposing and giving the spotlight for those people, we see how they interact with each other and how they find themselves connected with other people around them. So that the feeling of being connected creates the future for them. That's what I wanted to explore and show in the film.
Do you think this type of cinema can only be made in Japan?
I was brought up by my foster mother and a foster father. Foster father passed away at the age of 9 or something like that. But for those Japanese who lived in that time back then, they still really believe that there are gods or spirits living in every small element of life, that you, the tools and the things that you use, you know. So and also they believe, they almost humanize the moon and the sun that they see, and they greet and they thank and things like that. So maybe that kind of culture might be reflected in this film. Yes, in Japan, in 1996, the law to segregate the patients were abolished finally, so that was the loss of the country and the government. And of course, the government provided the compensation. But what's most important, I think, is the people's consciousness that we still have, maybe. When we see the people with no nose or like deformities, like, we tend to have biased thoughts for them, and that's the biggest issue that we have as a human, I think.
So, are you able to cook, Anne?
I try. After can.
After can.
Could be a great marketing scheme to give them go around the world handing them out to the audience.
I will.
So that's that. You have your own farm and you grow your own vegetables. That explains a lot about your sensibilities towards nature.
After earthquake.
So after the big earthquake in 2011, that's when I started, decided to start my own field of crops and rice. And I started slowly. But what I learned most importantly by making my own vegetable and rice is that you know the fact, after you plant the seeds, you have to wait. You can't get the food right away. So I realize how I'm so much used to paying money and get the food I want right away, so quick. But things doesn't go that way. And this, I think, explains so much about the essence of life that we're in. And we plant the seeds, and we have to take care of them. We have to wait some time, and we finally get the food that we can have.
So farming is a lot like filmmaking.
Yeah. So what's your creative control like at this point in your career? And what's the creative control like in Japan in general?
In Japan, government doesn't stop us, like filmmakers like me, to make my own films. But at the same time, as you say, maybe the producer... she mentioned about China, the Jiajiangku film couldn't be released in their own country, in his own country. But I never faced some big difficulties like that ever. But in terms of productions, like of course, a lot of producers tend to go for the films that are based in a famous comic book or something that's already popular. But I don't go for that. And of course, it's very hard to continue the way I want to in filmmaking. But I somehow, as long as I have even a slight possibility to continue making my own films, I go for it. And I have found some ways to continue making my own films. And that led to the Festival Cannes, which started back in 1997, and the festival that nurtured my film career and encouraged me to come this far. But at the same time, it's important to nurture younger generations. So in 2010, I launched a very small Nara International Film Festival in my home country. And as part of the main prize, we give the winning filmmakers are entitled to make a feature film set in Nara. It's a low-budget film, but we invite young emerging filmmakers to Nara, and I produce a film. That's a project that I'm involved in. I think it's important to while I keep making my own films, I also try to foster the younger generation.
Thank you very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.